Chapter 3.
Who's they?
Pisces didn't say. He only said that if Sariel was alive, there could be others.
And she's alive?
Yes, the message spell thingy said she needed help. She's somewhere in the ruins, down deep.
And with Ralk and Kilbukich, you think you can save them, right?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Aaron paused.
What?
Zavara held a wet washcloth to her head and scowled at Aaron over her desk.
I said no. I'm not sending two of my best guardsmen into that place without a good reason. You want to save those damned adventurers? Do it yourself.
But we need them. Relk and Kilbukich, they're senior guardsmen. They can fight.
They're senior guardsmen.
Zavara agreed as she absently massaged her temples.
But they're under no obligation to help non-citizens, which is what you are. Moreover, I won't risk losing Kilbukich again. Not after last time.
Aaron opened her mouth to protest, and the captain of the watch stared pointedly at her.
Not again!
Aaron closed her mouth and frowned stubbornly.
I'll just ask them to help on their own time, then.
I'll forbid them to help you. They're valuable assets to the city.
You can't do that.
Watch me.
Aaron stared at Zavara. The drake's eyes were a light purple, and she held Aaron's gaze until the human looked away.
You!
If you're done, get out. I've got a city to protect, and I don't need to listen to a human squawking at me.
For 1 second, the girl thought about flipping Zavara's desk over and spilling all her neat paperwork on the floor. She didn't, because it wouldn't help anything, and because the desk looked really heavy. Plus, Celis had told her that Zavara could breathe fire. The girl stomped to the door, and Zavara winced and scowled at her. Aaron turned, hand on the doorknob.
If they die, it's your fault.
Zavara's face was stony.
Tell that to the people who've already died.
There was nothing she could say to that, so Aaron left. She slammed the door as hard as she could behind her. That made her feel a little better. Ryoko was waiting impatiently at the foot of the stairs as Aaron came down. The taller girl was practically bouncing on her bare feet, ignoring the stares she was getting from the other guardsmen in the watch's barracks.
Well?
Aaron shook her head glumly.
We're not getting any help from the watch. And, I think we should leave. Now.
They did. Ryoka stopped a few feet outside of the squat two-story building and turned to Aaron.
I thought you said we could get help.
I thought we would, but it looks like people sort of blame the adventurers for the attack, which is fair.
Fair?
Aaron flinched at Ryoka's glare. She hadn't known the other girl long, but Ryoka seemed to have two settings, intense and brooding. And right now, she was practically vibrating with energy. She would have rushed to the ruins as soon as Pisces had come to them if it weren't for the fact that both she and Aaron were exhausted and drunk. Even so, she'd been up at the crack of dawn demanding to be led to the ruins.
That mage, Pisces, said that he'll go down to look for the horns of Hammerod. I'll go with him now. You try to convince other people to help.
Ryoka turned, and Aaron grabbed her arm. The runner jumped and glared, and Aaron let go quickly.
Sorry. Look, you want to go into the super scary ruins with Pisces?
Yes. The horns are down there. I'm going in after them.
But with Pisces?
He's a necromancer, right? I know he's powerful.
Yeah, but he's Pisces, you know?
Ryoka just stared. Aaron scratched at her head. It was only just past morning in the city, and her head still felt full of clouds.
You really care about them, don't you? I mean, I do too, but Ryoka, this is crazy.
Ryoka shrugged.
I owe them a debt. I'll go down there myself and come out with them or stay there forever.
Now that sounded heroic and pretty crazy. Erin opened her mouth and raised a finger.
Or we could get reinforcements.
You said that about your two guardsmen friends.
I did, but I know more people. Zavara said she'd forbid Relk and Kilbich from coming. Well, she can do that, but I bet Kilb's more important than her.
Fine, let's ask him.
Ryoka turned and began walking. She moved so quick. Her version of walking was Aaron's version of a jog. The girl made it 10 feet and then turned around and glared at Erin.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Erin smiled desperately and looked around.
I've never really been to the Hive. We might have to ask for directions. Or find a worker.
A what?
Slow people, slow conversations. The Horns of Hammerod are alive. I should be running down to the ruins now, but I'm stuck here with a girl who doesn't seem to understand the meaning of haste.
Or a lot of other things, if I'm honest. She's a person from my world, I get that, but is she just completely airheaded, or does she not take everything seriously? She hangs out with talking bugs and doesn't even blink at crazed demon midgets. The goblins.
Time. It all comes down to time. Not everything's a 400-meter dash, but some things come down to seconds. This is an emergency. My friend, Saria and the others are alive. At least she is. And she's been down in the ruins for days, possibly without water or food all that time. She is alive. I have to help her. But somehow I'm stuck following Erin's solstice around. She's fine. She's an innkeeper, but she doesn't seem to understand how important this is. I had to push her to run through the streets, and she stopped when she got embarrassed from people staring. We found the Hive, and the strange worker insect disappeared inside for a few minutes before he came out with the strange Antinium. Antinium. The murderous invaders from across the world. I could use an entire army of them, but it seems like we're not going to get any.
And then she said she'd forbid you to help. Can you believe that?
What is with this girl and talking to people? I should just go, now. But zombies? Erin did say there were zombies, right? Can I fight zombies? Would punching them even work? What if I get bit? I have to go. Kilbukich, the Antinium with only 2 arms, stares first at Erin and then me. I don't like him. He drugged us last night or slipped us some kind of magical alcohol. I took a sip of that and went insane. What does he want? Why does Erin think he'll help her? If he's the prognigator of the Hive here, he should be far too important to want to deal with us. Unless he suspects where we're from. Or is it something else? That book said Antinium don't have names, except for the prognigator and queens. So why did I meet 2 other Antinium with names? Focus. I have to save Saria and the others.
So, can we have a few of those big soldier guys?
Kilbukich crosses his arms and seems to think. The worker that got him left the instant he completed his task, but Kilbukich came out of the Hive with the Antinium with swords, Kissimver. He makes me just as uneasy. Is he a bodyguard? Some new form of Antinium? Or is that Kilbukich? They're not supposed to have only 2 arms. At last, Kilbukich shakes his head reluctantly.
I am sorry, Erin, but I cannot assist you.
Her face falls. I heard some people wear their feelings on their sleeve, but Erin paints it on a sign and waves it around wherever she goes.
What? Why?
By the agreement made with Lysk Orr, we may not bring out soldiers above ground unless requested by a figure of authority, or in times of war or defense of the city.
Damn. Damn, damn. But I guess it's my turn. If I could get some of those soldiers Erin is talking about. I clear my throat. Kilbukic looks at me. I hate talking to strangers.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the ruins a clear threat? That's where these undead came from, right? Neutralizing it would constitute defense of the city.
Not good. Two interrogative statements. I should be making declaratives and speaking confidently. That's what good old Dad taught me. Look people in the eye, speak clearly, and lie through your teeth when you have to. Kilbukic nods at me and takes his time replying, like a lawyer building his case.
That is true under a certain interpretation, but I believe many would see it as a dangerous precedent, especially given the failure of the Antinium to act during the undead attack.
No, Kilbukic, we need help, really badly. Ryoka and I can't go down there by ourselves, or even with Torin and Pisces.
Whoa, slow down. Did she just say she was going with me? And what was that? Torin? The skeleton? She wants to take a skeleton to fight against its kind. Can she even trust that thing? Kilbukic just nods as if it's all natural, though.
I understand. But my queen would take Zavara's view, I fear. I can render some aid, though.
Really?
He nods. Kilbukic looks over his shoulder at the other Antinium.
Ksimver, go with Erin Solstice and protect her.
The other Antinium's mandibles spread wide. Their version of a surprised expression, I guess.
But I am Prognogator. I cannot. Silence. You will go.
Kilbukic turns back to Erin and bows his head politely. Why do I get something of a Japanese vibe from the Antinium? Stereotypes about the Japanese corporate life aside, maybe because they're so polite? A single warrior from a hive that's capable of fielding thousands of soldiers at any given moment seems weak to me. But Erin smiles.
So you're not going to try and stop me, then?
If I told you not to go, I believe you would. You and Relk share the same tendencies.
That is not a compliment.
I am aware.
Okay, if that's all, it's time to go.
It's time to go. Let's get to the ruins.
Erin shakes her head. Is she mule-headed, or does she not realize that we need to hurry?
Not yet. Kershaya and Celis might be able to help. Let's go see them.
Unless they're both secretly incredible warriors, I doubt it. But Kilbukic seems approving. He nods to me as I hurry Erin away. His voice is soft, but I hear him talking quietly to the other one, Kissimver, as I go. Erin doesn't notice. She's too busy deciding whether to see Kershaya or Celis first. But I hear him.
Protect Erin and those she travels with. Her life is more important than yours. If she is harmed or dies, I will see you deep unstruck dead.
Something else to think about. But not now. I keep pushing Erin, ignoring her complaints that her feet hurt. We can't slow. I can't stop. We have to hurry. I won't be too late again.
Will you not wait a day?
No.
Ryoka said it before Erin could even respond. It was incredible, but the other girl was even more hyperactive than before. She was shifting from leg to leg, checking the position of the sun and the time on her iPhone every few seconds.
We can't wait, Kershaya. If Saria's down there, she might be in danger even as we speak.
But it is very dangerous. That creature of skin, there may be more, yes? And even if there is not, many undead did not perish in the attack. They will all be waiting down there.
Will you come or not?
Aaron winced. Being blunt and rude towards a gnoll was... well, actually, it wasn't a bad thing. Krishaya snorted in amusement at Ryoka.
Patience, young huntress. Even with Kissimver, warrior that he is, you two and the mage and skeleton are not enough, yes? I suggest waiting, because in time, help may arrive.
Help? What kind of help?
Kershaya smiled at Aaron.
Several of my tribe come down the southern road. They will be here today, if not earlier. They are warriors all, and they will surely help find your humans for you.
Kershaya's words sparked a memory in Ryoka's head. She stared at the knoll. It couldn't be a coincidence. Aaron shook her head at Kershaya.
We can't wait. I'm sorry, but we're going in. Will you come?
Regretfully, Kershaya shook her head.
I cannot. I must wait for my kin, and my arrows would do little good against dead things.
Aaron exhaled hard. She thought that was the case, but it still hurt.
Okay. In that case, I need to buy some stuff.
Kershaya spread her paws.
My shop is open. I have healing potions, which I will give you, and you may pay me later. What do you need? Ask.
Frying pans, knives. Actually, rocks will do. So only frying pans.
Frying pans?
Kershaya looked dubious, but she saw Aaron was serious.
Very well. I have good ones of cast iron. How many do you wish for?
Two, three. How many do you have?
Aaron took only a minute to select the right frying pans. Then she turned and nodded at Ryoka.
Sell us, then. She might be able to help. If not, we'll go.
The other girl didn't move. She was staring at Kershaya, frowning. Ryoka seemed to be struggling with something, and both of the other females finally noticed it. Kershaya smiled at Ryoka.
Do you have something you wish to say?
These other gnolls you said were coming. They're coming up the south road?
Yes. If you wait, they will be here soon.
No, they won't.
Kershaya frowned at Ryoka.
What makes you sure of that?
They're dead. I saw them.
Aaron looked from Ryoka back to Kershaya just in time to see the gnoll shopkeeper go completely still. Her tail, usually gently wagging, stopped. Her ears froze and her pupils dilated. She stared at Ryoka.
Explain.
I found a group of dead gnolls on my way to Liscor. They were around 40 miles away from the city, all of them killed. Something cut them apart.
Kershaya flexed her hand by her side. Both Aaron and Ryoka's eyes were drawn downwards when she did. Normally, Kershaya had a paw for a hand, furrier than a human's, but generally the same. Now her claws seemed to lengthen. Maybe it was a trick of the light, but to look at Kershaya's hands at that moment was to remember that she had nails. Long and sharp nails, the kind you could use to cut someone to ribbons. The gnoll stared down at Ryoka silently. Her face was expressionless, and her voice equally devoid of emotion.
Who?
I don't know. But a few hours later, I met someone on the road. A woman with a large eye named Gazi.
Aaron stared in open-mouthed astonishment at Ryoka, but Kershaya only nodded.
Thank you for telling me this, Ryoka Griffin. I trust you are not lying.
No.
Kershaya inclined her head slowly.
I thought as much, and sensed the truth of it. Very well. You must go. Save your friends.
Aaron hesitated, but Ryoka pulled her away. The two girls ran down the street as Krishaya watched them go. The gnoll was silent as she stood behind her stall, full of carefully arranged wares. Another drake trotted up, happy to be served at last. Krishaya turned to look at him, and his scales turned gray as he stumbled away. Slowly, Krishaya turned and went back into her small stall. She pawed around near the back until she came to a long, rolled-up bundle placed carefully on top of a few crates. Krishaya brought it back and laid it on her counter, brushing aside her display to make room. She did not move any faster than usual. There would be enough time for that later. Krishaya unwrapped the bow and stood it upright in her shop. She drew the string out of the bundle, checking to make sure it was still oiled and unfrayed. Then she began stringing the bow. Across the street, Lissom, the waste of fur of a shopkeeper, was marching toward Krishaya, probably to complain about one of the two humans. Krishaya took no notice of him. She reached into the bundle and pulled out a wrapped bundle. Lissom took one look at the huge, broadhead arrows Krishaya unwrapped from their wax paper covering and immediately turned around and walked away. The other pedestrians on the street took one look at the shopkeeper arming herself and made themselves scarce. The bow was strung, and Krishaya put the arrows in a quiver at her side. She was ready. She opened the side panel of her shop and stepped out. Then she raised her head to the sky and began to howl. Celis had no better news for Aaron. The drake only shook her head and spread her hands helplessly.
Sorry, Aaron. I know this is serious, but no one wants to go into the ruins. Not after what came out.
But there are other adventurers trapped down there. Friends, comrades in arms, and that sort of thing. You're saying no one will help?
All the best human adventurers went down with the Horns of Hammerod. The ones who are left are, well...
We're just smarter than that lot, that's all.
Both drake and human turned to look at who had spoken. A drake with a sword sat with his feet up at a table, balancing on the chair with his tail. He laughed as his friends, all drakes, started making jokes about the adventurers. Aaron stared around the room desperately. They weren't all drakes and gnolls in the room. Some humans were there too, but none of them would meet her eyes, or the ones that did were laughing at the adventurers.
Won't any of you help? Please, they're in trouble.
They should have gotten themselves out of trouble, or not gone looking for it in the first place, human.
The drake who had first spoken laughed again with his buddies.
Or maybe they just ran the instant they saw undead and got themselves killed. Either way, we're not risking our hides for a few idiots. Cowards.
Ryoka said it loudly, and it had the same effect as a knife. It cut through the sound and laughter and made the drake who had spoken sit forwards with a thump. The mood changed. The adventurers at the table glared at Ryoka. She glared back.
I thought adventurers were supposed to be brave. You lot should get rid of your swords and become runners. At least they get paid to run away.
The drake at the table stood up, hissing angrily. Celis banged her hand on the counter.
Stop that! No fighting! This city's had enough of it.
The drakes hesitated. The mood in the room wasn't on their side, and they weren't itching for a fight in any case. They sat back down. Perhaps it was the look in Ryoka's eyes and the rumors about a crazed runner girl with bare feet, but it was probably because of the look Aaron gave them. Everyone had heard about the human who slew the monster made of skin.
I'm sorry,
Celis apologized again, but Aaron just shook her head. Ryoka was already leaving the guild, and Eren ran after her with a hurried apology for Celis. This time, Ryoka set a course for the gates of the city without even talking. Eren had to walk quickly to catch up. The two girls walked through the crowds of people silently. They heard the howling begin as they left the Adventurer's Guild. It was immediately joined by more voices of other gnolls around the city, so that the streets rang with the sound, and drakes and humans froze and stared around wildly. But neither girl so much as looked up.
Well, Kissimver said he'd meet us at the ruins. That's something.
I suppose. Do you have anything you need at the inn?
Yeah. Give me a few minutes and I'll be good to go.
Good. I'll help you grab everything. We need food, water, healing potions.
Eren lifted the bag she'd carried from Kershaya's store. She had healing potions and the 3 frying pans she'd brought. Ryoka eyed them, but made no comment. After a moment, Eren asked the question on her mind.
You met Gazi?
You know her?
Yeah. She was at my inn. She helped me out, too, when I first met her. She was, nice. Do you think she really...
I don't know, but she was close to those gnolls, and she pretended not to know what I was talking about when I asked.
Ryoka walked on and hesitated.
She bothered me.
Was it the eye? That creeped me out a bit.
No, it was her. I can't explain it, but each of those gnolls that died was beheaded with a single cut.
Oh, she has a really sharp sword.
Really?
Yeah.
They said nothing more until they got back to the inn. It took them only 15 minutes, and Eren was gasping for breath when they got there. Ryoka looked at her in a way that made Eren feel certain she was judging her. She wasn't even sweating. It was cold, anyways. Not the right temperature for sweating. It didn't feel like winter, but then maybe they were in the equivalent of Florida or something. Eren opened the door and jumped back. Torin stood in the doorway holding his sword. He stared curiously at Eren as Ryoka raised her fists and stepped back.
Torin! Don't stand with a sword in the doorway! Oh, come on, help me!
Eren pushed the skeleton aside, and Torin sheathed his sword and began following her around as she yelled out instructions. Ryoka watched the skeleton warily. But Torin meekly ran about, gathering a few glowing green jars, supplies, and, for some reason, several rocks from outside.
Ready!
Eren reappeared a few minutes later with a bulging rucksack and all 3 frying pans strapped to it. Ryoka eyed the bag. Well, Eren could always stay in the back and carry the food. She had no idea how deep the ruins were. She had no idea of anything, really. It was the worst possible way to enter a dangerous area, but Ryoka had no choice. She had to go.
Are you done? Let's get moving.
Okay, Torin will carry everything until we get there.
So saying, Eren handed the heavy pack to the skeleton. He accepted it without complaint, and, staggering a bit, followed Eren and Ryoka. Ryoka thrust open the door and paused. Several goblins jumped back, and one screamed in a high-pitched voice. Ryoka nearly threw herself back into Eren before she remembered these were nominally friendly goblins.
Rags!
Eren pushed past Ryoka as the smallest goblin stared up at Ryoka suspiciously. She smiled at the goblin.
I'm glad you're here. We need your help.
Ryoka did a double take as Rags blinked in surprise. Surely Eren wasn't considering... She was. In a few sentences, Eren described the message Pisces had gotten, and their mission to enter the ruins. Rags listened attentively while the rest of her group stared around idly or picked at their noses and ate what came out. Eren finished with a short plea.
You understand, don't you? You'll help, right?
Rags thought for a second, pondering all she had heard. Then she looked up at Aaron and shook her head.
What?
Aaron stared down at the goblin. Rags shrugged at her.
But they're in trouble, and you can help. You've got a sword in your tribe. We need you, Rags.
Again, Rags shrugged. Aaron didn't speak goblin, and Rags wasn't speaking, but she got a definite sense of indifference from the small goblin. What had the Horns of Hammerod ever done for her? Why should she risk her neck?
Rags, please. They'll die if we can't get to them. Remember Saria? Remember Kalruz?
Rags scowled at Aaron and turned away. Her attitude seemed to indicate that if there wasn't any food or chests to be had, there was no point in being here. That was the last straw. Aaron had listened to grouchy Zavara, surprisingly unhelpful Kilbukach, Kershaya, and the idea that Ghazi was evil and a room full of useless adventurers. Her patience finally ran out. She snapped. Hey! She grabbed Rags bodily and lifted her up. The goblin shouted in outrage and tried to break free, but Aaron just glared at her.
I am asking you for help. You owe me. I have fed you and given you help and even that sword and shield. I even made Pisces teach you magic. Now I need help saving my friends.
Rags growled at Aaron and kicked at her. Aaron bit back a yelp as one bare foot kicked her in the chest, hard.
Ugh! That's it!
The small goblin grabbed at the sheathed short sword at her waist, but Aaron just turned her upside down and began to shake. The goblin's head and body bounced around wildly as Aaron shook the small goblin, shouting loudly,
Help me! Help us!
She lifted Rags up and down by the ankles so that the small goblin bounced up and down like a bungee jumper. To Ryoka, it looked like one of the rides at an amusement park that send hapless riders down 100 feet per second out of the sky. Except here, no one was amused. Except for her and the other goblins, of course.
I'm not gonna stop until you say yes! Say yes! Say it!
The goblin screamed and tried to bite and punch at Aaron, but to no avail. Aaron whirled Rags around by the legs in a circle as the goblin screamed. Ryoka had done that as a kid with her father once or twice, but it had been her holding on as he whirled her around by the arms, not the legs. The way Aaron was doing it to Rags was a lot faster, more dangerous, and a lot less fun. At last, Rags screamed something loudly, and Aaron stopped. The girl glared at the goblin as Rags hung upside down in the air, even greener than normal.
You're going to help? Promise?
Rags nodded weakly. Aaron dropped her. The goblin landed with a thump in the grass. For a second, Ryoka thought she was going to run, but when Rags pushed herself up, the goblin could only stagger around drunkenly.
Run away, and I'll throw a rock at you. And you know I'll hit you.
Aaron threatened Rags. Ryoka wondered how credible that was. Aaron didn't seem like she was the athletic type, and Ryoka seriously doubted she'd ever played baseball. Maybe softball, at best. She didn't seem like the competitive type. Rags glared at Aaron, stumbled a few feet away, and threw up noisily in the grass. She paused after vomiting up a considerable amount of undigested food, thought for a second, and then threw up again. Aaron stumbled as she turned, dizzy from the swinging herself. She nearly walked into another goblin. Rags's small posse was alternating between glaring at her and staring at the vomit in the grass with curiosity or hunger. Maybe they were protective of their boss. She didn't care. Aaron glared at them.
You want to fight, huh?
The goblins looked at their leader, still noisily being sick in the grass. They looked back at the destroyer, slayer of the skin monster, provider of pasta and free drinks. They backed up quickly. Rags was nearly done puking. The goblin wiped at her mouth and said something in her scratchy language. Erin pointed at her.
You're helping. No arguments. You and your tribe.
Erin hesitated and turned around. The area was already emptying out of goblins as they ran away.
Damn it!
Ryoka glanced at her. The girl's earlier amusement at the spectacle had evaporated like the other goblins.
We've got to go. Why do you want the goblin anyways? Even her tribe wouldn't be much help.
Erin disagreed.
She's got a sword and a shield. Plus, she knows magic.
Ryoka paused.
She does?
Yeah, maybe not as much as you, but some. And she was the one who killed the super evil skin worm monster that was leading the undead.
Ryoka stared at her. Erin threw up her hands.
It's true! Why does no one believe that?
They met Pisces waiting at the ruins. The mage was antsy, and he hadn't brought anything but his customarily dirty robes. He didn't have his usual sneer, though, and he was nervous. Possibly the only person more nervous than him was Kissimver.
I would deem it far more prudent for you to remain behind, Erin Solstice. You are no warrior, and the ruins are dangerous.
They're my friends. I'm going in there.
Erin glared at Kissimver. The Antinium wavered and then sighed.
Very well. But remain behind me at all times.
Rags glared at the Antinium as he looked down at her, and then at Torin.
You have chosen an unusual group.
No one else would come.
I see.
Ryoka ignored the two and marched up to Pisces. He looked at her with the expression of someone trying to recall her name. She didn't care.
Did you get another message from them?
He shook his head.
Possibly something is blocking Saria, or her mana might still be low. It is possible if she is wounded.
Right then, let's find her.
I suppose so, but there's a problem.
What's that?
He nodded at the vast entrance to the ruins.
The guardsmen won't let us in.
After the attack on Lyskor, a palisade and deep ditch had been dug, and the guards at the entrance to the ruins were now 20 strong, armed with arrows and torches, and even a drake mage in robes at the back. The guardsmen in charge stared at Erin and the others as they marched up.
We're going in!
The drakes and gnolls stared at Erin as she stood in front of them. One of them laughed, but stopped when no one joined them. Their leader, a drake with maroon scales, shook his head.
No one goes in or out. Savara's orders.
She knows we're going in.
She does?
She does.
He shook his head.
I can't let you in without word from her.
That is regrettable,
Kissimver called from behind Erin. He shook his head.
We should return to the city. It would not do to stand in defiance of the law.
Ryoka opened her mouth. For what, she didn't know. A threat? She wasn't sure of anything that would work. But Erin just narrowed her eyes.
You will let us in.
Or what?
Or I'll hurt you.
The drake stared at Erin. She glared at him. He had nearly a head of height on her, not counting his helmet, and he had a spear and 19 guardsmen at his back. All Erin had was a frying pan, but he remembered where Skinner had died, and he had danger sense, too. The look in Aaron's eyes made him reconsider his next words.
We will send word to the city if you'll wait.
Erin pushed him. The drake stumbled back and nearly ran into the sharpened wall of stakes. Erin stomped past him without another word, and the others followed. Ryoka stared open-mouthed at her back, and then hurried to catch up. The ruins were dark, and the open stone doors were just as foreboding as before. But despite the ominous blackness from within, Erin knew there was no turning back. But she did have a thought.
Did anyone bring a candle?
Light.
Pisces and Ryoka said it at the same time as Rags muttered something. Three orbs of shimmering light flew upwards as all three blinked at each other.
Good. Then we're good.
Erin looked back into the ruins.
Here be monsters,
she thought to herself. Nasty, undead monsters. This was the place where Skinner had come from. This is the place where countless adventurers had died. Death lurked below, waiting. But so too did the Horns of Hammerod. There was no choice. Erin took a deep breath.
Ready?
Pisces looked green, but he nodded. Rags scowled at Erin and Ryoka and the ground. Torin's sword was already drawn, and the skeleton scanned the dark entrance. Kissimver stepped forwards.
Allow me to go first, Miss Solstice. I will scout out ahead and signal you when it is safe to proceed.
No, we go in together.
He hesitated, but Erin pushed past him. Ryoka blinked in surprise. Erin walked into the darkness of the ruins and then turned.
Well, I can't see anything if you guys don't follow.
The others hesitated, but then they walked forwards. Ryoka passed into the darkness and shivered. Her tongue was in her mouth and her heart was pounding. She was afraid. For the first time, she was truly afraid. Of the unknown. Of what she did not know. Of being too late. But she had to go. A dirty necromancer, a goblin, an undead skeleton, the prognigator of an Antinium hive, an innkeeper, and a city runner walked into the ruins. It sounded like the beginning of a joke, but what would the punchline be? Ghazi the Omniscient sat with her back to a slope several hundred meters away. Her main eye pointed into the back of her head as she tracked the progress of the strange group as they descended into the ruins. Let's see. By primary classes, they were a level 12 warrior Antinium, a level 27 necromancer with mage class levels, a level 8 warrior, level 6 mage, and level 10 tactician goblin, a level 11 skeleton warrior carrying a ruby enchanted with terror, a level 18 innkeeper human, and a levelless runner human. A joke, then. Something about ruins or the undead. They could be humorous. Ghazi frowned. She'd work on it while she waited for them to come back out. She had plenty of time. But then she could hardly wait. She was patient, had been patient, but now Ghazi was buzzing with anticipation. She polished her sword, humming quietly, waiting. A tightly sealed scroll with a glowing rune etched onto a wax seal sat in the grass next to her. It was finally time to go home.